The title this morning is Car Rides and French Fries. And that will make sense in a moment. But we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. So when you're there, say amen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you that not one person in this room or tuned in online is here by accident, but we are here by divine appointment. So I pray that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today, that our eyes would be open to see things fresh and new and with a clarity that we've never experienced before, and that our hearts would be prepared by your Spirit to believe and to receive your word with approval today, like ground that's been carefully prepared to receive seed or a planting of plants, that our hearts would just be carefully prepared by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, that's what you do. So we ask you to do what only you can do in this place. We say yes to you, and we're so excited for what these moments we share hold, because we know that you hold them. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the Chiefs. Thank you that the kickoff is at 3:25. We got plenty of time. Kurt said I could go as long as I wanted. So we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Comfort the Bills in their loss today. Amen. Car rides and French fries. So in thinking about this morning, I always try to have some kind of a real life application, real life example of what we're talking about. And I thought about going and getting fries, and specifically Mitch Donald's. That's what my daughter calls McDonald's. She's adorable, and if she sees the logo or if she just wants it, she goes, I want Mitch Donald's, and I'm like, never change. And so we had a particularly good day. This story's probably happened countless times. We had a good day. As a reward, we were just going to go out for a drive and pick up some Mitch Donald's. And so we went and we got the kids. In fact, I think the time I'm thinking about specifically, we were actually going to go on a date. We were going to go get some good food. But our kids love Mitch Donald. So on their way to their grandparents for the evening, we picked them up some food. And I don't know if you're familiar, Halloween, trunk or treat, it's coming up. Parent tax is like a thing, dad tax. Are you familiar with this? When you have to make sure this is safe for consumption. And so I paid for their food. We go through the line. They're super excited. My kids are hangry in the back seat. They are beyond just being excited about food. They're at the point of, and when my son, who in whom I am well pleased, and had the honor and the privilege of being a part of his baptism last week. That was awesome. He's sitting back there, and if he said it once, he said it 100 times, because the dad tax is consistent. Those are my fries. Don't eat my fries. Have you, as a parent, have you experienced this? Those are mine. Get your own. And I turned, this one time specifically, he was indignant that I, so I took another one. Because I said, this is an opportunity to learn. And I took another, he's like, Dad, those are mine. I said, whoa. Who took you to Mitch Donald's? Who purchased this bounty? You know, it's really dangerous. Like, somehow, Lord, bless this in some way to the nourishment. You almost feel bad asking, right? It's more of, Father, forgive us, because we know exactly what we're doing. But those are my fries. Like, but your father, who bought the vehicle, and paid for the gas, and took you to Mitch Donald's, and paid for the food, is the one who has given this gift to you. And the Holy Spirit, who is so gracious to teach me through my children all the time, he said, how many times have you said, but that's mine? Those are my fries. That's my time. Those are my resources. I don't want to, because that's mine. You know, that is like the first phrase that a child learns. It's never yours. Ever, right? My nieces, my nephews, my children, I've never once seen a child say, yours. No, it's mine. And it's a part of the human condition. It's something that is part of the fallen world system. This spirit of, but that's mine. And what does that flow out of? It flows out of lack, fear of there not being enough, fear of what about me, selfishness, greed, all of this. And it's all born out of fear, right? Mine. And we live in a world where there are entire systems built, sectors of our economy, businesses that are built around convincing you that you need, you need, you need. Right? Marketing in the United States is big money. And their whole job is to convince you that you need, you need, you need, mine, 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 me, me, me. And this morning, I want us to consider the fact that we are, as followers of Jesus, and sons and daughters of the King, if he is indeed Lord and King of our lives, we are the kid in the back seat who are enjoying so many good things, and sometimes we're so unaware of how good we have it. How gracious and kind and loving he has been. And we get so caught up in our hungers and our desires and our passions, and we get frustrated and hangry for something, and we forget who's driving the car and who's providing for us. Because, you know, the Hebrew tradition is even the very breath in our lungs. The word for breath and the word for spirit is the same. And in Genesis, it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed his breath into the lungs of man. And the Jewish Hebrew tradition is that we are living on borrowed breath. The very breath in our lungs is borrowed breath from heaven. And even with that, we can get so stingy. So everything in our lives, our time, our resources, our talents, everything is from him. I've heard somebody say that God is a giver and a forgiver. It's his very nature to give. And as sons and daughters of the King, he invites us into that aspect and that part of who he is. And so we want to talk about that this morning a little bit. Honor the Lord with your possessions. In Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all your heart. Wednesday evening, we were doing the class on the Holy Spirit. I don't know that it's helpful having two preachers lead a class. We are not gaining ground faster. But it's been really good. But we've been taking time to silence ourselves and just listen to the Holy Spirit. And then this week we even stepped into journaling a little bit. So, okay, let's take some time and let's journal what we think the Lord may be speaking to us. And Pastor John even encouraged us at the end, towards the end of that, is like, maybe inquire the Lord, like, do you have any questions for me? That's dangerous. It's good. But God does not ask us a question to gain information he does not already have. Simon, do you love me? He's not trying to get information from Simon, right? And in that time, I asked the Lord, are there any questions? And he just simply asked, do you trust me? That's a big one. So this morning, as we're going through this, I want you to stop and just consider for a moment, do I really trust him? Because today we're going to talk about generosity a little bit. And the moment you say that, and even that is kind of a church way of saying, we're going to talk about your time, your talent, and your treasure. We're going to talk about your resources. So people immediately get uncomfortable the moment we start talking about money. Start talking about my time. Start talking about my talents. Especially if you're using your talents to earn a living, to pay the bills. And that God would dare require something of you. But that's mine. Those are my fries. Everybody say, I love Pastor John. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want you to pay attention this morning. The word all is going to be a recurring theme. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. You know, it's not just in church where that gets uncomfortable. If you go to Texas Roadhouse after church and you sit down with somebody and say, I want to talk to you about your money. We all feel that, right? We all feel like, that. Okay, I'm uneasy with this. I don't want you to talk to me about my money, right? Even if you have an appointment with a financial counselor and you go and sit down and they start getting into your business about what you're doing with your money, that's less than comfortable. But the mature among us understand that not everything that feels good is good. And not everything that is uncomfortable or even hurts is bad. Amen. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. I'll paraphrase that, so that your savings and checking account will be filled with plenty. Can you testify to that today? Some of us maybe can. Some of us, those are faith words, man. And your retirement is overflowing. But that's what he's saying. He's speaking to an agricultural society. So this is their currency. But for you and I, it's our time being given in exchange for money, right? And he says, honor him first and foremost. And if you'll do that, you're going to have more than enough. And it's so counterintuitive because this is Old Testament. But over and again, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, there is a reminder to be faithful in giving to the Lord. To be faithful in tithes and offerings. To remember God. And to remember God first. It's so important. Let's go to Proverbs 11. I'm sorry, I did not finish where I was there. We're going to go to Proverbs 11. Keep your finger there if you're there. If you are, you're fast. So that your vats will overflow with new wine. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Nobody has this scripture on their refrigerator. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. I don't know about you, there have been moments in my life where I felt like a favored son because we kept going back to correction. Right? Like, man, he loves me a lot. Go to Proverbs 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24. It says, there is one who scatters. The NIV says, one who gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. I didn't write that. It's in the book. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, everyone's favorite verse. You have extra points if you have it highlighted and underlined. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Tithe literally means 10%, a tenth. And so in Hebrew tradition, in the law, you were to give the first 10% of your harvest, of your increase, of your resources to the Lord. You brought it to the house of the Lord, and that the intention was that would feed and take care of the priests and the Levites and those that were serving in the house of the Lord. And so he's saying, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That's the purpose. And try me now in this, says the Lord. It's the only time in Scripture you're going to hear God say, I want you to test me on this. I want you to test me on this. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. That's amazing. Have you ever felt like there were seasons where just as much as you tried and you felt like you were making headway, but something else just consumed everything you just worked for? That there's pests that came in, there's rodents that came in, whatever, and you were making ground, and suddenly it's gone. There was a repair that was needed, an appliance went out. And it's like, as soon as you could produce it, it was devoured. Well, the Lord is promising here, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'm going to protect your harvest, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You will be, everyone that looks at you is going to say, they're blessed. God is working for them. Again, Pastor John was asked about, you know, to describe God in that interview, and he said, God is a giver and a forgiver. That's his very nature. It's who he is. John 3:16, very familiar. But when I think of generosity, I posted on social media, I asked on Facebook, I put out a question, you know, when you think of generosity, what do you think of? And I think of several things, but I immediately go to John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. When it's talking about the world there, it's not talking about, the system that we live in. It's not talking about even necessarily the ground that we walk on, the sphere that we live on, but humanity. He so loved us. So love, that kind of love where you just so love someone. Well, you'll do some wild stuff for someone you so love. And it says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By very nature, he is a giver and a forgiver. We serve a God who is so generous and does not even take into account or give thought to what that costs him. He's so driven by his love for you that he gives and he gives and he gives again. We live in a world where radical generosity, the generosity that we find revealed in Jesus, is crazy. And in fact, I've read somewhere in my Bible that it says we are to be a peculiar people, strange people to the. And if you have been, and no doubt we have people in the room and people tuned in online who have been faithful to tithe and give for a long time. Have you ever gone to an accountant and they look at that and they tell you, you cannot afford to give that much money? You're crazy. This is not normal. Right? You know, I was reading up and I didn't put it in here because I didn't want to. Well, I simply ran out of time. generosity, looking up kind of the, you know, the act of being generous and giving freely and with an open hand and just some of the root definitions of generosity and being generous and looking through that. And it's interesting that in the formation of the word generosity is generative. I believe it's in Ephesians, so let him who stole steal no more. But let him work with his own hands so that he can have enough to give, to contribute. Like that's the Jesus way. That is the kingdom way of, don't just be taking. In a world where everyone is looking to get theirs in this world. It says, work, be generative so you can be generous. But also in the definition of generous, this antiquated definition said generosity and being generous is an attribute of those that are highborn, that are born of noble blood. See, when we've said yes to Jesus and we've crossed the line of faith and we are born again. And the Bible says that we are a brand new creation that never existed before. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? And you have a new bloodline. You have a good, good father. I don't know if you've ever watched any some of these historic television shows, fictional and nonfiction, and people that are born of noble blood. There's this whole process of learning this is what we do. This is how we live. And for those of us that have said yes to Jesus and come into the kingdom, generosity is what we do. We are a generous people. We may not always feel like it. And we may not always want to. But it's who we are. Right? It's in your blood. It's who you were created. You were created to be generous. I remember when I was a young kid, probably three, four years old, and we went to Price Chopper, shop for groceries with mom, and there was some bubble gum that I wanted so badly. It was that fruit stripes or whatever, it had the zebra on it, and I wanted that so bad. And for whatever reason, my mom said, no, you're not getting that. And I wanted it so bad. So I, when she wasn't looking, she was busy putting stuff on the belt, I grabbed it and I put it in my pocket. And I went home and I threw it under my bed because I knew what I'd done. And when I was just so overcome with guilt and condemnation, I finally confessed. And I was told we were going back. And we were going to give it back, and we were going to talk to the manager, and whatever the consequence was, we were going to deal with. Of course, it was a 50-cent pack of gum. Not a big deal, but I was terrified. And I remember my parents telling me, you stole, but you're not a thief, and that's not what we do. That is not who we are. See, there is power in understanding your identity and who you are and whose you are. And that left such an impression on me to hear that is not who you are. You stole, but you're not a thief. Stop that. And we had a very unpleasant conversation where I was on the receiving end of some punishment, and I never did that again. But when they said, that's not who we are. I want you to know this morning, if you're dealing with a fear of lack and not enough, and how can I possibly give and even be generous when I have nothing? What I have, that's mine. I worked really hard for it. I want you to know that that way of thinking, that mindset, that's not who you are as a son and daughter of the King. That's not who you are. You have been bought with a price. You've been grafted in, you've been adopted in, and you have a Father who's good and does good and has your best in mind. And lack and poverty thinking is not a way of the kingdom. Generosity. And we read over in Proverbs 11 that a generous person will prosper. One who gives freely will gain even more. And it's counterintuitive to the world we live in, but it's true. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 6. You have it in your notes too. And we're going to go back to chapter 8 here in a minute, but because he's been speaking to generosity, he's been speaking to giving and faithfulness in your giving, and calling out what the Lord had done in Macedonia. He says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully or generously or with blessings will also reap bountifully, generously." You're going to reap blessings. So how you sow is how you reap. And he goes on to say, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because you've been coerced into doing this, for God loves a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. Will you say that this morning? God is able. Say that. God is able. This is a healthy reminder. God is able. Whatever we're facing, whatever you're dealing with in your finances, in your family, in your relationships, in your career, God is able to make all grace, not just some grace, to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, you probably should put that on your refrigerator. God is able to make all grace. That grace is his power, his divine power and ability to do what we cannot do. His favor and his blessing on our lives. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. I'm not there, but I believe. In all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, God is trying to speak to who we are. He's not trying to get to our stuff. He's trying to speak, because remember when Jesus called the disciples and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you. Not follow me and I will take you." Which is what we so often do with that, as we think Jesus wants us, he's going to take us to heaven. And we reduce the gospel to a post-mortem salvation of when I die, I go to heaven and not hell, and that's it. But what Jesus said to his disciples is, follow me and I will make you. He's much more concerned with who you're becoming than your destination or even what you're doing. And this generosity, this is a big heart thing. Because Jesus said where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. The thing that, what you value, there's your heart. Has God ever like put his finger on something and say, I want you to give that? And it begins to speak to your motive. You're like, well, I like that. I worked really hard for that. That's my fries. But when we begin to be shaped and molded into the image of Jesus, which is the goal, right? To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Our motives begin to change. Our why begins to change. This isn't in your notes, I'm sorry. And I was supposed to be really short today, and I apologize. But the Chiefs don't kick off until 3:25. If you have a Bible, or a Bible that glows, we'll allow it. I'm kidding. Somebody got a little upset when I said something about a Bible that glows, and don't. 1 Corinthians 13. And let's just read the first couple verses there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's so important because faith is a force. It's like one of the big three down here at the end of chapter 13. It says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These are like pillars in the kingdom. These are core values in the kingdom, faith, hope, and love. Faith is a force, right? We do things by faith. The just shall live by faith. But love, number one, it says the greatest of these is love. So, there's a hint on the final test that this is important. But love is a motive. It is why we do what we do. Faith is a force. It's how we do what we do. Right? But love is why we do. And that's why it's so much more important. He says you can have all faith and you can do all this stuff. But if you don't have love, if your motive isn't right, if your heart has not been shaped into who Jesus has called you and created you to be, and it's not by love, it's not for love, then I am nothing. So I can have all this and still not be who I was called to be. And that's why this generosity thing is so important, because it touches why we do what we do. Going back and back over 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because you're coerced. Somebody's twisting your arm to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. It touches the heart of the Father. Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe you have more than one child. And one of your kids just does something loving and generous for the other one without being told what to do. And the instant smile that's on your face. Oh, you did so good. And that's the Father's heart towards us when we begin to walk in generosity. When we become people of radical generosity, giving even when it doesn't make sense. In a world that's trying to store up, I'm going to take care of me, you're on your own, and we give generously, the Father loves that. He loves a cheerful giver. He didn't even have to tell you to do it. You just did it. As a father, that pleases me. If my kids do something just kind and generous, just out of nowhere, oh, I'm so proud of you. Right? God loves a cheerful giver. I believe one of the biggest hurdles that we face is the antidote to greed is gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote to greed and lack and that not enough thinking. Because over in Proverbs, it says, the one who withholds unduly, the one who is greedy and stingy and is holding on to their soul, they come to poverty. Another verse says that their world grows smaller and smaller. Right? The more we get focused on what I need and what I want, and we live in a consumer-driven culture that is driven by me and mine, and your world gets so small when all you can focus on is that next thing that's going to fill a void that only God can fill. Right? Gratitude, though, takes the blinders off. And you begin to see, well, He is good and He does good. And God showed up here and did this, and I forgot about that, because we are forgetful how God was so faithful to show up in a moment where we absolutely needed Him to, and He did, and a moment later, we've moved past that. But gratitude brings that back. Oh, He did this, and He did this, and He didn't have to do that. And I was really messing up, and He still was good. He wants, just like Scott was talking about, His heart is that we would walk in the promise. And He's so good to bring us back, even when we mess up. Even in our rebellion and thinking we have a better way and we've got it figured out and I know how this works. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but the world system is broken. And you can follow all their rules and it still doesn't work. Right? Generosity is a key of the kingdom. Oh, man. I really want to get into that parable, but we absolutely do not have time. So you have the outline. Read Matthew 25. It's a parable of the talents, which works really well because there are three arenas. We're going to jump down. There are three arenas that God at times requires. And you know what? It's okay as sons and daughters of the King for Him to require things of us. And the moment you say Jesus is Lord, where that really comes into play is when He makes a demand. We don't like to use that kind of language. We all kind of bow up like, how dare He demand? When He takes that fry out of our bag, how dare you? Those are my fries. But as those that have made the declaration, Jesus is Lord. Do you know that there are times He will make a demand on your time? And in fact, the moments that I've seen the Holy Spirit work in the most powerful ways in my life, it's when he showed up and messed up my schedule. It was not convenient. And in fact, walking with the Lord, it's in that uncomfortable, interrupted time where the Holy Spirit moves in a powerful way. So we need to learn to be generous with our time. Generous with our talents, the God-given skills and gifts that we've been entrusted with. You've been entrusted with that. The Lord of heaven and earth has made an investment in you, and there are times where he may have a requirement. And we have to remember, he is God. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Finally, our money, the treasure, which is our money and our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure. And we are so, sometimes we're okay with one and maybe not the other. Like sometimes, some of us, you know, I'm good to give, but don't make a demand on my time. My time is precious. Just a reminder, we all have 24 hours in a day. That is the most important currency that we have, is our time and how we choose to spend it. You're like, I just don't have time for that. Well, you have a choice. Everybody say, I love Pastor Wes. Choosing to be generous with our time, our talents. Sometimes we, in the parable of talents, it talks about, you know, the master gave this many to him and he gave less to this guy, and finally one guy got one talent. You would be so blessed to have one talent. You know, something you can focus on. I have a friend, he's good at everything he does, and it's so annoying. He's got so many talents, so many giftings. He does everything amazing. But you know, the inherent problem with that is, what do I do? And so you may be sitting there, well, I only have this one. I only do this one thing well. You are blessed. Right. Do that and be generous with what you have. You don't even have to think about it. And there's people like Wes that can speak and sing and play instruments and all that, and it's just not fair. But generous with our talents. What has God entrusted you with? And don't be jealous of other people's gifting. You know, I've known people like, oh, I remember somebody, I just want to sing. But they could not sing. We are not giving you a microphone. You can take lessons and sing less bad, but you're never going to sing, right? But that same person was an amazing artist and could do things with pencils and watercolor that I could never dream of. So be a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you, and be ready and willing to yield it to the hand of the master. Say, whatever I have, God, I hold it lightly. I want you to look at Luke 21. We're about done here. Luke 21 and verse 1, it says, Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. He says, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these gave out of their abundance and put their offerings in, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood she had. Because see, the issue with generosity is not about how much you have. And we want to make it about that. I don't have much, or I will give when I can afford it. Same, I have friends that are like, we'll have kids when we can afford it. Well, that will be never. Right? but you put resource and intention behind what's of value to you and what your disciplines and priorities are, and you make it happen, right? If you don't give on $10,000 a year, you're never going to give on $100,000 a year. If you're not faithful with where you're at, you're not going to be super generous when you win the lottery. And I have friends that are like, when I win the lottery, I'll give to your church. They don't go to our church. They don't give anywhere. Because I get it. Some people have an issue. I would even say it's good for the human soul to be generous. So if you don't give here, give. You should give somewhere, but if you're faithfully planted, the Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It talks about being a tree planted. What does a tree planted do? It sows in the soil that it's planted in, right? And so if you are planted in this house for the well-being of your soul, for the condition and the health of your own soul and spirit, you need to be generous and sow back into what you're receiving from. You need to be a tree planted that sows back in and sows back in and receives and sows back in. Generosity is not about how much you have. It's about trusting God with what you have. We go back to that question, do you trust me? Because what Jesus is looking, and these guys are giving out of their abundance, and the Pharisees, they tithe it off of every 10th leaf of the plants in their garden. You know, if they're growing mint, every 10 leaves, they're plucking that off, and that's going to the temple. And they prided themselves in adhering to the law. But why we do is more important than what we do. And Jesus says, she gave more than all of you because of her heart. Because her actions revealed, God, I trust you. And we could spend from now till kickoff talking about the times where in our lives, in people in this room, where God said, I want you to give this. And you gave it, and he showed up and did what only God can do. I literally found a wad of cash. I don't lose cash because I don't carry cash. I found a wad of cash in a vehicle I was getting rid of that was broken down. Cleaning it out, getting it ready to go to the junkyard, just making sure I had all my stuff. And we were in a place, and we were faithful to give, but it was tight, and like there were bills due and things didn't happen. I found a wad of cash, hundreds of dollars, stuffed in between the seat. No one else had the key to that vehicle but me. God is good, and he's faithful. And he's able. And the question is, does he have your heart this morning? He's not looking to get after your pocketbook. He needs your heart. Because he's so much more concerned with who you are than what you're doing. Because what you're doing will change if he has your heart. God will use what is in your hand if you will trust him with it. So don't be concerned about what you don't have. What do you have? Finally, I want you to, this thought, Wes, if you want to come. The church is not built on the gifts and talents of a few, but on the sacrifice of many. And with your generosity, you are connected to what happens. When we have baptism services and people are getting in the water and being raised to new life and going public with their faith, when you've been faithful to be generous in this house, that goes to your account. when we've been able to touch people. You know, there's people that come to our church weekly looking for assistance and resources. And we're able to be generous to them because of the generosity of the people of Harmony. And you're a part of, in a very practical way, meeting people's needs. There's stuff that happens you don't see. There are lives that are changed. I think of Jeff and Ruth, like, because of the generosity of the people of Harmony and us being here, they saw our building, showed up, came in, prayed out of nowhere. Wes comes and prays with them. And God just changes their lives. And we could just exhaust ourselves with story after story after story of people's lives being changed, and it's possible because of the generosity of the people of Harmony. So as I'm closing, I just want to encourage you, there is a little card that was out on the tables when you came in. It's a generosity challenge. I just want to encourage you, this is for you. We don't need this back. But I believe if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, maybe you're the most generous person ever, and we have a lot of them. I thank you. There are people in this room. When I think of generosity, I think of some of the people in this room who give and give and give. But if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, being like, you know what? I've not been generous with my time, or I've not been generous with my talents. Finally, if I haven't been generous with my treasure, I want to encourage you to begin now. Say, God, I trust you. And I want to give, not because Josh said we need to give, but because I want to be like you. Jesus said, be perfect like your Father is perfect, and that just sounds ridiculous. I want you to be like God. But one of the ways we are so much like our Father is when we give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, not because the pastor's telling you to, but because I love him so much. And I want to be just like my dad. So whatever the Holy Spirit's putting his finger on, I would like for you to mark that, put that in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, wherever you're going to see that, and take the challenge. And if you haven't been faithful to give, even just of your resources, the idea of tithing may be scary. I just want to encourage you to start where you're at. And can I challenge you to take the next 90 days and just choose, I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to give whatever the amount is, and I'm going to be faithful what the Lord's telling me to do. And he's promised, try me in this. That's even Old Testament. That was before Jesus. And he says, try me. And lastly, if you're here this morning, or if you're tuned in online and talking about Jesus and talking about generosity, and you've never crossed that line of faith, said, Jesus, I give you my life. And for those that haven't done that, this idea of generosity can be so foreign. I want to invite you to cross the line of faith and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm able to give because of what you've given. I'm able to be generous because you are so generous. I am blessed. Everything in my life is a response to who God is. So if that's you and you've not responded and said yes to Jesus to make him the Lord of your life, the captain of your ship, handing over the steering wheel of your life, say, Jesus, I give you my life. Not everything you and the Lord need to talk about, but it's where it begins. Jesus, I give you my life. that have said that 100 times, but maybe there's something about today where we've been holding on to something, saying that's mine, and we haven't given you full, because Jesus is Lord of all of it or none of it. So if he's put his finger on something and he says, I need you to give that to Jesus. I give you my life. Can you stand with me this morning? Let's just raise our hands in a demonstration of surrender to him. My time, my talent, my resources, everything I am. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Have your way in me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
With everything, thank you, Jesus. Everything, with everything, in everything, thank you, Jesus. Everything, with everything, in everything. Lord.
If you've made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and it's the first time you've ever done that, can I encourage you to tell somebody? Come up to me if you're in the room, come tell me. If you're online, message us. Let us know. I just want to say thank you for your generosity. It's one of our core values as a church, to be generous people. It's our heart, and I believe it's true, and I pray that it would grow more and more, that we would be known by our generosity. Like, oh, I go to Harmony, it's the most generous church in the city. Pray that it would be so. Amen? That's our heart. Can I bless you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You're dismissed. Go in peace. Thank you.